talk about the myth of just try harder.
Gosh, that triggers me every time I say it out loud. But yeah, if I had a pound for every time someone told me, you just need to focus, I could pay someone else to focus for me. The ADHD problem isn't willpower. It's chemical priority setting. Our brain doesn't release dopamine in response to importance. It releases it in response to interest.
Welcome to The Anxious ADHDer, the podcast of brains that don't always play by the rules. I'm Jess, your resident overthinker, procrastinator and overcommitter turned serial Googler of what is wrong with my brain. So today we are diving into dopamine, ADHD, medication, motivation and the strange chemistry that shapes how we function. Let's get into it. Let's get cracking. I'm going to start with a twist, right? Dopamine isn't just the happy chemical, it's the chemical of potential happiness, the thrill of the chase, the excitement before the reward. And for ADHD brains, that system doesn't work the way it's supposed to. Ours is more like an unpredictable Wi-Fi connection, sometimes lightning fast, sometimes non-existent. Let's start by saying dopamine is the Beyoncé of the brain. Full main character energy, living for the applause. Everyone else in the brain is basically Destiny's Child trying to keep up. Yeah, I know, I've been listening to a lot of Destiny's Child recently, as you can probably tell. Now, in neurotypical brains, this group harmonises beautifully. They tour together, release bangers, get good reviews. In ADHD brains, half the bands keep missing rehearsals. So in this Destiny Child style brain group, with Beyoncé being dopamine, here's the lineup. Faye shows up 3 hours late in Sequence and Chaos. Serotonin is trying to keep it together. Noradrenaline is pacing backstage with an espresso martini ready to start 12 new projects. And cortisol is stressed eating its feelings in the corner. But yeah, the result? Total chaos. 1 minute you're dancing in the kitchen with brilliant ideas. The next you're staring at a spreadsheet wondering what life choices led you there. Okay, so it is apparent that I only really know one member of Destiny's Child. But anyway, that's ADHD dopamine. Dramatic, unpredictable, but never boring. Here's the nerdy bit, explained in human language. Dopamine is made in a part of your brain called the ventral tegmental area. Oh my gosh, that's definitely not pronounced right. But yeah, let's call it the VTA because tegmental sounds like a Pokemon evolution and I cannot pronounce it. It sends dopamine to your prefrontal cortex, the area that plans, prioritizes, and generally tries to adult. It also chats with the nucleus accumbens, the reward center that decides what's worth doing. In ADHD, that dopamine circuit is underactive. Think of it as like having a lazy postman delivering your motivation letters late or sometimes not at all. That was a great analogy. So when you know you should start something like, I don't know, cleaning your kitchen or doing taxes, your brain just doesn't release enough dopamine to make it feel urgent or rewarding. That's why things that are interesting, urgent or new suddenly feel easy. Those things light up the dopamine system automatically. But the boring everyday stuff feels like emotional congre. Let's talk about the myth of just try harder.
That triggers me every time I say it out loud. But yeah, if I had a pound for every time someone told me, you just need to focus, I could pay someone else to focus for me. The ADHD problem isn't willpower. It's chemical priority setting. Our brain doesn't release dopamine in response to importance. It releases it in response to interest. So even if something matters, like paying rent, it doesn't trigger dopamine. It gets pushed aside for something that does, like suddenly needing to deep clean your phone charger, don't ask. Anyway, that's also why deadlines work. Urgency is like a sneaky little dopamine boost. Panic is still chemical motivation, it's just the expensive kind. And here's the cruel bit. When we finally get the dopamine to start, it doesn't always stick around. You'll begin strong and then suddenly feel the drop. The, I was just doing it 5 seconds ago to, where did it go moment. That's dopamine depletion. And no amount of yelling, come on, at your laptop fixes it. Let's address the meds conversation, the elephant in the room, because if dopamine is Beyoncé, then ADHD meds are the stage lighting that finally lets her shine properly. Stimulant medications like methylphenidate, brackets, Ritalin, the amphetamine salts, you've got the L-Vans, Adderall, they don't magically give you focus. They increase dopamine or noradrenaline in those key circuits, allowing your brain to use motivation that is already there. They don't make you someone else. They just give you access to a level playing field. And for me, medication feels like kind of switching from that static field radio to clear sound. The ideas were always there, I just couldn't really tune it right. And I've been on a few. Yeah, I've been on a few. It's like me and dating. Yeah. Or not. Basically, you have to try a few before you find the right fit. I started on Ritalin, that bad boy. That was a short-lived romance of, like a month. He wasn't for me. Then I moved on to Conchita, was on her for about 5, 6, 7 years. Long time. And then eventually I found Elvanz. You know, she's my girl. She's my sweetheart. Ritalin was kind of like that slightly awkward first date. You try and leave as soon as possible. And then it gets awkward. And then you're just like, I don't really want to see you anymore. But, oh, no. I'm playing on my previous experiences, clearly. And then, like, short bursts, quick crashes, like texting your ex and then immediately regretting it. And then came Elvanz, smooth, steady, reliable. She keeps me calm in meetings, helped me send emails like an actual adult, kind of. And you know what? She tries not to ghost me halfway through a to-do list. But you know what? No relationships are perfect, right? But before Elvanz and my relative functioning era, there was that one uni moment that still makes my blood boil. So I was sitting in the library, minding my own business, you know, write my dissertation, basically living life. When like some random person that I knew in my seminar stuff came up to me and was like, hey, could I buy one of your like Concerta tablets before my exam? It was like I was some sort of like shady academic dealer. And I remember thinking like, do you have any idea what it's like to rely on a tiny pill just to feel normal? It's not caffeine. It's not a study hack. It's a literal chemical bridge between my intentions and my reactions. Plus I need it. Like I can't be dishing them out. What's going to happen if I start dealing them and I'm going to run out? No, my darling. So yeah, don't ask. I'm not going to sell my medication for 20 quid. Jeez. And yeah, I think that is without question the worst thing you can say to someone with ADHD about their meds. Because it turns to something deeply personal and medical into a transaction. So you never ask someone for a few of their antidepressants for the vibes, right? just tell you the vibes. Yeah, same thing. So if you're neurotypical and listening, please never say things like, I wish I could drive that for focus, or you're so lucky, I'll get so much done. No. Trust me, there's nothing lucky about waiting months for diagnosis, crying in the GP's office, then spending weeks adjusting to something that finally helps you feel like a person again. You know, I was diagnosed young, but that time, it was hard. It was hard finding the right fit. It took me a while. So not that lucky. And honestly, you know, it can feel like a full-time job, especially now, because let's be real, maybe it's slightly better, but the ADHD medication shortage in the UK was an absolute circus. Every pharmacy trip turns into like some sort of treasure hunt. You call around being like, oh, I do have 60 mg Elvanz in stock. Oh, I totally told you how much medication I'm on. But yeah, like you keep calling around. They're like, no, we got 4, we got 50. Oh, we can combine 30. It's like, yeah, it was like such a vague sense of despair. And you finally get your prescription sorted and boom, the next month, oh my gosh, the anxiety. Oh, it's discontinued, delayed, or maybe available in Scotland if you're willing to swim. Or I think someone said to me, you know, you just got to deal with it. Just got to deal with it. Thanks, mate. Cheers. And that shortage hits hard because when you rely on medication for stability, missing a few days can feel like your brain has switched back from HD back to grainy 2003 webcam mode. You know, you get foggy, distracted, emotional, or more so, not because you're addicted, but because your brain has literally adjusted to functioning with a relatively balanced dopamine. And it's the worst part, the guilt. The way people talk about ADHD meds as if they're cheating, as if taking something that helps you function is a shortcut, really, instead of a lifeline. And here's what I've learned through the great meds debate. Medication doesn't erase ADHD. It doesn't cure it for that person who asked me once, which I still remember. It's been 12 years, I don't forget. But yes, it just lowers the volume of the chaos long enough for you to hear yourself think. It's not about becoming more productive. It's about becoming more you. The you that remembers more things. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I still forget things. The you that follows through. The you that can actually enjoy your own ideas instead of drowning in them. And yes, sometimes it's messy. You might have appetite dips, jittery mornings, emotional evenings. You might cry one day and feel brilliant the next. And that's not failure, that's your brain adjusting. So it's okay to tweak, to take breaks, and it's okay to feel frustrated when your system makes that harder than it should be. Because right now in the UK, a lot of us are juggling more than symptoms. We're juggling shortages, delays, endless phone calls, you know, that waiting time to get diagnosed. Jesus, that's a long one. What's it, like 8 years? Gosh. And yeah, just to get this medication that makes us feel like ourselves. So if you're listening to this whilst refreshing your pharmacy app or rationing capsules like their Pokemon cards, solidarity, friends. You're not dramatic. You're just trying to function in a world that doesn't quite understand how much these tiny pills matter. And if you're not medicated, that's valid too. Some people can't take them. Some choose not to. Some are willing. Some are still waiting their diagnosis or supply. You're not less real in your ADHD because you're not on meds. This isn't a competition. I don't know why everyone makes it a competition. We're not all the same. Every ADHD is not the same. Every single person with ADHD is different. So why should we all fall into the same box of like, let's take meds, let's do this, let's X, Y, and Z? No, it's a spectrum. Some things work for some people, other things don't work. So yes, basically, it's a spectrum of strategies. And medication does help, but it doesn't replace structure, self-awareness, or sleep, really. It's the microphone, not the concert. You still need the band. You know that weird emptiness after finishing a big project or after a weekend when your brain is buzzing with ideas? That dopamine dip, the part of the cycle where your brain resets its levels and everything suddenly feels grey. And here's the trap. We mistake that dip for failure. We think we've lost passion or discipline or creativity, when really it's just chemistry doing maintenance. And you don't need to fix it, you just need to recover from it. That's where rest, novelty, and reward come in. Do something small like that gives your brain a sense of completion. A short walk, a playlist, a silly YouTube rabbit hole. Think of it like giving dopamine a snack between meals. So how do we feed dopamine in a way that doesn't backfire? Here's my go-to menu of ADHD-friendly options. So you've got the appetizers. Yes, the appetizers, the starters, the quick wins. Cross off the smallest task first. It releases dopamine, which snowballs into bigger effort. Use body doubling and work alongside someone, even virtually. Shared focus equals shared dopamine. Love that for us. The main course, sustainable fuel. Physical movement, even mild, increases dopamine naturally. Get your exercise on, mate. Love that. So yeah, move your body. It increases dopamine naturally. Music, especially anything nostalgic or rhythmic. Personally, I recommend mid-2000s Destiny's Child. Should we? I need to stop banging on about Destiny's Child this episode. Oh my gosh. Backstreet Boys, bit of Bowie, Beatles. Yeah, I've got other tastes. Learning something new, but with permission to be bad at it. Dopamine loves novelty more than perfection. And then for dessert, my favorite part of the meal, slow dopamine. Rest, like actually rest. Don't rest, but still, you know, hyperfixate. Rest. Connection. Talking, laughing, hugging, sharing memes that make zero sense. Creativity without outcome. Painting, doodling, voice noting chaotic ideas. Slow dopamine is what stops fast dopamine from burning us out. So remember our brain band from earlier: dopamine, serotonin, noradrenaline, cortisol, oxytocin. I don't think I mentioned oxytocin, but yeah, she's the good one. She's the one who gives us hugs. But anyway, when ADHD burnout hits, it's like the whole group breaks up. Dopamine storms off, serotonin's crying, noradrenaline's trying to schedule a comeback tour, and cortisol's, you know, eating crisps in the corner. And then oxytocin's just trying to put on a brave face and comfort everyone. Everything's falling apart. But yeah, that's a burnout cocktail. Too much stress hormone, not enough reward. So if you're feeling detached, unmotivated, or emotionally flat, it's not a personal flaw. It's a band needing some sort of reunion tour. So start small. Get one member back on stage. Maybe serotonin through rest, or noradrenaline through movement. Dopamine will follow when the vibe feels right. One of the hardest ADHD lessons is learning that motivation doesn't always precede action. Sometimes action creates motivation. If dopamine is the spark, then routine is the matchbox. You don't need that big lightning bolt, just enough friction to start the flame. And once it's lit, protect it. Protect it at all costs. Don't guilt yourself for needing novelty, variety, or play. That's not immaturity, it's maintenance. Our brains aren't lazy. They're just wired to chase a possibility of reward, not the reward itself. So instead of fighting the chase, let's make it sustainable. Turn chasing dopamine into cultivating dopamine. That sounds so sophisticated. But yeah, that's when the chaos becomes creativity instead of exhaustion. So here's the takeaway. Your dopamine system isn't broken. It's improvising. It just needs structure, music, and kindness. Like, you know, like Bay with a better tour manager. Oh, okay. All right, I promise. It's the last time I'm going to mention Destiny's Child. But yeah, we can't force consistency from a brain built for curiosity. But we can design lives that reward it with mini goals, flexible routines, and just self-compassion when the rhythm changes. Because ADHD isn't a lack of discipline. It's just a different tempo. Anyway, guys, drink water. And sometimes the best dopamine hit is knowing that you're not the only one trying to outthink your own brain. Follow, rate, share, or just dance around your kitchen like dopamine's on its comeback tour. Anyway, look after yourselves and I'll see you next time.